Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. And a few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs, and he would have gladly filled himself with the pods the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will go back to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you and heaven. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he went off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called to one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never even given me a young goat so I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. So before I begin, I would like to share a prayer that my home church pastor does before all of his sermons. So if you would, please assume an attitude of prayer with me. God, we give you thanks for your word that calls us from death to life, from silence to speech, from idleness to action. Renew us, transform us once again, the living word of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So my name is Caleb Meyer. I'm a senior studying history and political science. So I like to say I'm studying how we haven't gotten along in the past and how we still aren't today. I'm a part of Lutheran Campus Ministry, and I would like to thank everyone in this congregation for welcoming us here today. In the gospel today, we hear Jesus telling the parable of the prodigal son, and I'd like to say that this is a parable we hear a lot, right? It's a good parable about returning to God. The younger son makes a lot of mistakes and bad decisions, realizes the error of his ways, and returns to his father, who welcomes him back into his home. And yet, I think there's something important to that parable that often goes overlooked. The older brother. Despite how late in the story he comes in, I would say that the older brother is just as important, if not more important, than the younger brother. If this was just a parable about someone returning to God and the joy that comes from that, Jesus could have stopped two parables ago. Immediately before this parable, Jesus tells two others. First, of the shepherd and the lost sheep, and second, of the woman and the lost coin. But instead, Jesus continues with one more parable, with a very important difference from the other two. we see another perspective to that return. When the older brother finds out that his brother has come back, he refuses to celebrate. When confronted by his father, he says, "I have been working for you for years and have never disobeyed your orders. Yet you have never even given me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fatted calf for him." A few things going on here. The first thing we see is the older brother's sense of fairness. "I have been here forever and have gotten nothing from you. And this other son, who has asked for his inheritance, basically saying he wants you dead, comes back. And you throw him a feast." What? That doesn't make any sense. If I was in that position, I'd probably be at least a little bit annoyed as well. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with the concept of parables, how they are a metaphor for life. So you'll say, both brothers are loved, forgiven, and welcomed by their father, and this is cause for celebration. But there's always a part of you that says, yeah, when you put more work in, you should be rewarded more. It's only fair. And yet, that's not what we see happening. I mentioned previously that the older brother is just as important as the younger, and here's why. It can be so easy to be the older brother. The older brother approaches his father's house and thinks he has it all figured out. He says, "All I need to do is work hard, stay with my father, and I will receive my reward." He then sees his younger brother, who, to put it mildly, has messed up, and says, "My brother deserves to get nothing. And if he does get some reward, it should be nothing compared to what I receive." But instead, the father goes to both of them and says, "You are both my children and have everything I own." God says to everyone, whether they're the younger or the older brother, "You are my child. Receive the gift of salvation." Both the son who is an absolute mess and the son who thinks he has his stuff all together are both rewarded. As someone who likes things to be fair, that can be a hard pill to swallow sometimes. When you feel like you've put all this work in, you come to church, you may have had your doubts from time to time, but you always stuck with God. You have done everything that was asked of you, and you get the same reward as someone who may have found their faith at the end of their life, may have left their faith for a time, come return to it, or 100 other scenarios where by your judgment, they don't do enough. But that's all it is. Whether it's my judgment, your judgment, or all of our judgments combined, it does not make one iota of difference. Because God has given grace freely to all people. And the fact that I have grace doesn't mean that you don't. The fact that you have grace doesn't mean that I don't. God's grace is not a zero-sum game. But what do you do with it? If you're already saved, that if you already have God's grace, that doesn't really give incentive to do anything more. I'm covered. No more reason to be a good Christian if I'm saved anyway. So why continue to do so? Because we are also called to live out God's love on earth. When I was a part of Minnesota All-State Lutheran Choir, I had a director, Dr. Tom, who always told us two things. The first was that this side of heaven, there's always room for improvement. This was usually directed at the tenors and I. The second had to do with faith and grace. He said, when you believe that you're saved, when you know in your heart that you've been given God's grace, it changes your whole outlook on life. You don't do things to be saved. You do them because you have been saved. It affects you at your very core. And I would add one more note on that. It's hard. It's incredibly difficult to love your neighbor the same way that Jesus loves us. If it were easy, everyone would do it. And I don't want to sound like I have it all figured out. Put me in a room with my little brother for like 20 minutes, and you'll figure out very quickly we have some things we need to work through. But we are called to try anyway. And if we mess up, that's okay. We are saved anyway. An essential part of being human is that at one point or another, we will all mess up. And no matter how we mess up or how badly we mess up, we are still a part of God's family. If God's grace was fair, none of us would receive it. But God's not fair. Thanks be to God for that.